I remember being 21 years old, and I'm moving to Italy to go study, and all of my stuff had already been shipped, so all my stuff is there, but I was not there. And I kind of live in my head sometimes, and I started thinking, like, what if Italy actually doesn't exist? Like, this has just been a whole ruse my whole life. Like, I remember going to the Olive Garden and seeing the Leaning Tower of Pisa on the kids' menu, and the Colosseum's not real, and the Pope's not even real. Like, none of it. And I, like, had this crisis of conscience. I'm like, this pilot is just going to be circling, and we're not going to go anywhere. So then I was on a plane for 10 hours, and we landed in Italy. Wouldn't you believe it? It exists. It's real. And I really was like kind of having a panic attack on the plane ride. Like, but we landed. I'm like, oh, there's palm trees. This looks like what I thought Italy was supposed to look like. But I hadn't seen it. So I didn't believe it. And we so often say, like, seeing is believing. I should have believed that Italy existed. I'm not going to doubt that again. But we so often want to see hard proof, hard evidence for us to be able to entrust ourselves to another person, to be able to really surrender. I have a hard time asking people to do things for me because maybe I don't trust that they can actually get the job done. I have the same thing with the Lord. I have a hard time entrusting myself to Him because I don't know if He will get the job done, and that's a lack of faith. We have this beautiful gospel passage that the apostles are gathered together. They've heard that Jesus is risen. Some of them have even seen him. And Jesus appears in their midst. And he offers these words, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his side. They needed the evidence, apparently. They needed the evidence to see and to believe. And we hear that the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus once again had to offer him his peace. Peace be with you. And they go out and they start sharing. And everyone was there except Thomas. And we call him Doubting Thomas. Womp womp. What an awful name. Doubting Thomas. Thomas says, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." I'm not going to believe it. It's too unbelievable. He knew that Jesus died. He knew what the Lord suffered. I don't believe he's actually back. And God in his mercy, this is good for us because we don't have to have it all figured out. If you want God to show you something, you ask him for it. Say, "I know I should believe, Lord, but I just don't. I know I should trust you, but I just don't. So you need to come all the way down to my level." And Jesus is really good at that. He humbles himself to meet us where we are. And Thomas says, "I'm not going to believe until I see it." And Jesus is merciful enough. He comes all the way down, says, "Here I am, Thomas." And Thomas falls down to his knees. And he says to him, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." And this is what the church has always taught us Catholics, that at the time of the Eucharist, as the priest holds up the host, this is the prayer that's in the hearts of Christians, that we are to say the same thing that Thomas says, "My Lord and my God," that Jesus comes into our midst to bring us his same peace that he brought them 2,000 years ago. My Lord and my God. You know, Thomas is the only person in the entire Gospels who calls Jesus God outright. The only one. Some of them call him the Son of God. Some of them alluded to him having God-like features. But Thomas is the only one who called Jesus God. He's not doubting Thomas. He's believing Thomas. He's a model of faith for us. And he is so many of us, that we do believe, and yet there's parts of us that are unwilling to trust. The apostles, after this, there's a new adventure that's beginning for them. Jesus says, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me?" Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. As far as I'm concerned, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That's all of us. We weren't there when Jesus raised Lazarus. We weren't there when he pardoned the sinful woman, the adulterous woman. We weren't there when he calmed the storm. We've had it passed down. People told me, and maps showed me, that Italy existed. I had to trust a lot of people to know that. And for thousands of years now, we've been handing down these same stories over and over and over again, not because they're myths, but because they're profoundly true, and because people gave up their lives for it. St. John, he tells us right after this, he says Jesus did a lot of other things in the presence of his disciples that are not written in his book. But I wrote these down so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. In other words, John says, I've got a whole bunch of other stories. I could write them all down. He says, this is enough. This should be enough for you, that if you read through it, that if you hear these stories, it should be enough for you to know that this man was not any ordinary man. That this man loved with a love like you've never seen. That he had power that no other person on this planet did. That he was dead, and by his own power, he rose from the grave. We can't do that. Only God can do that. So here you and I are, recipients of a tradition that comes all the way down to us. And I'm so convicted that the peace that the Lord gives isn't a peace without suffering. That when Jesus says, peace be with you, he shows them his hands, and they see the marks in his hands. And they know that as the Father has sent Jesus, they're to be sent into the world, that their lives will be marked by suffering. And all of the apostles, save John, all of the apostles were killed, were martyred for their faith, that they shed their blood because the name of Jesus Christ, because he was truly God, he was truly worth dying for. They trusted him. Thomas himself went all the way to India, and there he was killed. And thousands of people, millions of people in India, when I was there this summer, they said, we're Catholic. Thomas brought us the gospel. We're Catholic because Thomas brought us the gospel. This is the saving message that comes to you and to me. And we, as Thomas, come before the Lord in the Eucharist today with semi-believing hearts. Lord, I don't know if I trust you completely. I don't know what you're calling me to. I don't know what the next step forward is. I'm afraid to let other things go. I'm afraid to really make you the center of my whole life. And yet Jesus comes to us in our lowest point. If we have hearts to receive him, if we have eyes to see him. And as he comes before us in the Eucharist, we bow down and worship. My Lord and my God. Jesus meets us where we are. And wherever it is, we must surrender and worship to him. God is in charge. We place our trust in him.